This is the Advanced Spoken English, World English's Lesson 4, the one that was supposed to be on Monday the 16th of March. And I'm doing a slightly different system from the previous lesson, which took me so long to record and put up. I'm going to try to give you the slides in one file, and I'm giving you the audio commentary on the slides in this audio file, which I hope you'll be able to listen to and follow the slides at the same time. I'll tell you each time when it's time to change a slide, and I hope that you'll be able to follow in that way. So on slide one, we've got the details. And I have to warn you, though it's not on the slide, this is quite a tough lesson because we're going to be talking a lot about intonation. And I have to confess, it's not the most exhilarating topic in the world, but I'll try to make it as lively as possible. So let's change slide now to slide number two. And here on slide two, we're getting into our intonation, and we're moving on from what we did last lesson with word stress and where the stress falls in words. And now we're talking not so much about stress in words, but stress in long connected pieces of discourse. And first of all, we have to think that English is a stress-timed language, as you see on the slide. That is, it has a regular occurrence of stressed syllables at relatively regular intervals. So it's not a syllable-stressed language, which, for example, Italian is, and so is French. In a syllable-stressed language, all the syllables, stressed or unstressed, tend to occur at regular intervals. So this is the difference, if you like, between English and, in our particular instance, Italian. So it's not regular intervals of syllables, stressed or unstressed. In English, it's regular occurrence of stressed syllables at relatively regular intervals. And in contrast, there's also the fact that it's not a tone language, and neither is Italian, but Chinese, for example, as well as some African languages and North American Indian languages are tone languages, where substituting one tone for another on a word or a morpheme can create a change in lexical meaning or grammatical categorization. So, at least in English, we don't have that to worry about. So let's move on now to slide three. And we look at the functions of intonation. And I'm taking the four generally accepted functions of intonation accepted by linguists. One, attitudinal. Two, accentual. Three, grammatical. And four, discourse. You might think it would be discoursal, but it's discourse. And I'm basing myself on Roach's analysis. That is the Roach we know and love from our English Phonetics and Phonology book, which we may know from our first year Triennale Sounds of English course, or if you didn't do that course, you may have come across the book or references to it in other places. So Roach suggests that these are not necessarily mutually distinct categories, but rather overlapping. So we can't say that there's a certain set of elements that are attitudinal, another set which are accentual, another set which are grammatical, another set which are discourse. There are elements which can be put into those categories, but some elements go into more than one or even all of those particular categorizations that we've got there. And I want to work through all those four functions of intonation as we go through the slides. So now it's time to change slide, and we go to slide four. Just a moment of pause while I try to go to slide four. Here we are. Now I'm on slide four too. Hope you are too. And we're looking first of all at the attitudinal function of intonation, the first of those four categories that we saw on the previous slide. So for an attitudinal function, this is how intonation allows us to express emotions and attitudes as we speak. However, it's not only intonation that does this, and very often it's other features which are doing this too. For example, variations in loudness, variations in speed, changes in voice quality, and especially non-verbal features such as facial expressions, gesture, etc. there. So this function of intonation is important, but it's rarely functioning on its own. Usually for attitude and emotions, we exploit all these other features, some verbal, loudness, speed, voice quality, but many non-verbal at all. And if you want a proof of this, you can think about the way you speak to a dog. Now, some people claim that dogs can understand up to 30, 50, I don't know how many, I can't remember, words. But what most dogs, not those super dogs, understand is voice quality and intonation. Okay, so we can say that perhaps the word stress comes into it too, but if you have a dog, you may already have tried this little game. You can say a usual phrase you use, like time for a walk. Now, you probably noticed there that I didn't say time for a walk, but I used a considerable variation in my voice quality and my speed, time for a walk, rather than separating out the words there. The intonation didn't come into it so much, but you might like to think of the rhythm, time for a walk, particularly that rising intonation at the end, the kind of enthusiasm, but the voice quality, particularly that enthusiastic, oh, we're going to do something nice, expression that my voice managed to convey there, not so much my intonation or the words I used. And to do this little game with your dog, if you haven't done it already, if you haven't got a dog, just pretend you have, try to say something else that has the same number of words, using the same tone, but use different words. So on a really simple level, all you can say, well, I'm trying to think of something now because I had a different example. What with time for? Time for something horrible. Can't think of anything horrible. What is horrible for a dog? Some dogs like bath. Time for a bath! Time for a bath! And your dog will probably be extremely enthusiastic, even if your dog doesn't actually like baths there. Because it's that da-da-da-da that the dog is thinking about there. So you could substitute time for something, 1, 2, 3, 4, and say, let's go to the wood. And your dog would be just as enthusiastic and wouldn't expect to go to the wood at all. You can do it with, who's a good girl? This is if you have a female dog. Who's a good girl? This is a frequent banal phrase that you say to express your joy and pride in your dog. And the same thing, there's that warmth, the love in the quality of the voice there, as well as the rhythm of the speech and the intonation there. And you could substitute here, this was my originally prepared example. Who's a Greek yogurt? Who's a Greek yogurt then? Now, the dog will be just as pleased to hear that, even if the dog has never eaten Greek yogurt in her life there. Okay, enough of that. I hope you managed to follow it, trying to make it a bit livelier. So remember, for the function of intonation, there is an attitudinal, emotional function of it, although this is usually backed up by a lot of these other qualities there. So we'll move on now to slide 5. And here's another experiment for you, this time without the dog. Though if you've got the dog would probably be pleased to keep you company here. And here it's again to see these different qualities. Now, ideally, we would have you working in pairs for this, but we don't have that possibility, so you just have to do it on your own. So I want you to try to say the phrase that you see below in a manner to express different emotions or attitudes. I'm not going to tell you which ones. You see how many different emotions or attitudes you can convey with these words. The words are on the slide, and if I say them like a robot, I just want to be loved. Okay, I'm not even giving you the stress time. I just want to be loved. They're stress timed. English, it's not conveying any kind of emotion or attitude there. But you try saying it and see how many different emotions. Think of the emotion and then try to project the emotion through the words first and see how many you can manage. Obviously, I can't hear you doing this, so I just hope that you're taking part and trying this experiment to see how those different aspects can be used. Well, did I give you time to express at least 10 of those? Well, maybe not, but at least 4 or 5, I think you manage. I can give you a little try. For example, I just want to be loved. Now, this is quite pathetic, isn't it? So that was pathos being expressed there. I just want to be loved. And here we're being much firmer and we're concentrating the expression on the speaker. I just want to be loved. Again, we're putting the stress on the loved there, and you can imagine some facial expression going with it there. I just want to be loved. And that's a kind of dreamy, sentimental kind of attitude being expressed there. Maybe you've got some more interesting ones, and I'm fairly certain that you used some bodily gestures and facial expressions, and I'm sure you used your hands. I'm convinced you used your hands. So you might like to try the same experiment sitting on your hands and see if you can communicate the same emotions. In the meantime, we're going to change slide and go to slide 6. So here on slide 6, it's another experiment. And this time I'm going to give you the emotions I want you to express. And the phrase in the robot expression is, I want to go home now. Okay, put the stress in it. I want to go home now. Now let's see if we can pronounce it to express A, tiredness, B, desperation, C, firmness, and D, anger. Okay, I've given you a little hint trying to put those emotions into the words themselves there. You see if you can put them into the expression, I want to go home now. Well, I hope you don't. I'm sure I can hear you from all over Tuscany doing it. And I'll just try to give you an example for the tiredness. I want to go home now. The desperation. I want to go home now. That's one form of desperation. It could be others. Firms. I want to go home now. And the anger. I want to go home now. And again, you can hear the differences in quality of voice, I think. And I think you found the quality of voice changing too. Certainly for the firmness and the anger, you get a big change in the volume. And to a certain extent, the speed there. The tiredness gave you a much slower speed, for example, and less volume. So after those little experiments, let's change slide and go to slide 7, except this is going to be a new set of recordings because I've had to divide up the slides into shorter sections and we're coming close to the 15 minutes. So for the next section, you'll have to open a new sound file.